As quickly as he was able, then, he bought tables and chairs from Suzhou, carved and wrought, and he bought curtains of red silk to hang in the doorways, and he bought vases large and small, and he bought scrolls to hang on the wall, and as many as he could of beautiful women, and he bought curious rocks to make rockeries in the courts such as he had seen in southern parts, and thus he busied himself for many days. With all this coming and going, he had to pass many times through the outer courts, even every day, and he could not pass among the common people without sticking his nose up, and he could not bear them, so that the people who lived there laughed at him after he had passed, and they said, "He has forgotten the smell of the manure in the dooryard on his father's farm." But still none dared to speak thus as he passed, for he was a rich man's son. When the feast came, when rents are decided upon, these common people found that the rent for the rooms and the courts where they lived had been greatly raised, because another would pay that much for them, and they had to move away. Then they knew it was Wang Lung's eldest son who had done this, although he was clever and said nothing and did it all by letters to the son of the old lord Huang in foreign parts, and this son of the old lord cared for nothing except where and how he could get the most money for the old house. The common people had to move, then, and they moved complaining and cursing because a rich man could do as he would, and they packed their tattered possessions, and went away swelling with anger, and muttering that one day they would come back even as the poor do come back, when the rich are too rich. But all this Wang Lung did not hear, since he was in the inner courts and seldom came forth, since he slept and ate and took his ease as his age came on, and he left the thing in the hands of his eldest son. And his son called carpenters and clever masons, and they repaired the rooms and the moon gates between the courts that the common people had ruined with their coarse ways of living, and he built again the pools, and he bought flecked and golden fish to put in them. And after it was all finished and made beautiful as far as he knew beauty, he planted lotus and lilies in the pools, and the scarlet-berried bamboo of India, and everything he could remember he had seen in southern parts. And his wife came out to see what he had done, and the two of them walked about through every court and room, and she saw this and that still lacking, and he listened with great heed to all she said that he might do it. Then people on the streets of the town heard of all that Wang Lung's eldest son did, and they talked of what was being done in the great house, now that a rich man lived there again. And people who had said Wang the farmer now said Wang the big man, or Wang the rich man. The money for all these doings had gone out of Wang Lung's hand bit by bit, so that he scarcely knew when it went, for the eldest son came and said, "I need 100 pieces of silver here," or he said, "There is a good gate which needs only an odd bit of silver to mend it as good as new," or he said, "There is a place where a long table should stand." And Wang Lung gave him the silver bit by bit, as he sat smoking and resting in his court, for the silver came in easily from the land at every harvest and whenever he needed it, and so he gave it easily.